Hey everybody, this is WEC Podcast, episode 62. I'm Mandy.
I'm Katie.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kevin.
And today, we thought we would talk about, you know, a scenario where we were really sick. Really sick. And this could be fake sick or real sick, frankly.
Oh, I thought we were under house arrest.
House arrest, yeah. Isn't that house arrest when we're sick?
Oh!
Wait, okay, so tell me the real scenario.
So the idea is that we're under house arrest, right?
Oh, you mean for a crime?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I was thinking house arrest because we're contagious.
Mine's jaywalking.
No, because you've got a anklet and you can't leave your house without the...
I know exactly what I did.
I do too, but mine's not funny.
Oh. All right, Mandy's sick. So go ahead.
I was really ill and I stole something in a delirium.
Or you could be a plague victim. They're quarantining you so you don't infect everyone
and
else.
And they threw the ankle bracelet on. I like that much better. Yeah, I'm a plague victim.
Okay, great. That's sad, but
yes.
I'm sorry for you and your family.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's right. I had to kick them out. I could have the house myself. Well, this is sounding better and better. It's like, wow.
Bottom line, people, we're trapped in our house.
Yes.
Right. And so what to do? What to do other than to binge watch
Cry.
Television?
Call Kevin. What am I doing?
Yes. So binge watch. What? So this will be the top 8 things that you could binge watch if you are under house arrest for whatever reason that might be. And Kelly, what was your reason?
Oh, my reason is going to be I finally lost it. Finally, that last little thing that contained my anger snapped, and I go on a massacre and start beating the crap out of everybody.
And that's not funny. Why? You're right, beating the crap out of everybody. Not funny at all.
Violence is bad. Don't be violent, kids.
Violence is bad, okay?
And Katie?
Okay, so what I did was I attended the Republican National Convention. But my whole purpose for attending was to get on TV because I brought my sign that simply said, "Why the F is Big Brother a thing?" And I was escorted out and confined at my house.
And of course, you were talking about the television show.
Yes.
Yeah. Why would it be anything else?
Oh. Yeah, you're right. It could be. All right, it's The Bachelorette then.
Oh.
Oh, but you really did mean just a TV show?
Yes!
Well, you gotta realize, kids, it's been a long time since we were forced to read 1984.
Big Brother's been a thing for many, many years now, so right. It's no longer fiction.
It spans the generations.
That's so funny that you mentioned Big Brother, because I was just talking to Katie's and my niece, Alex, and I was asking her, because I read this article about binge watching and the millennial generation, and I think there's various age groups, but this article referenced it as being 14 to 25. And it basically said that as of now, this age group gets more of their viewing from streaming sites rather than television or cable. And that just didn't seem new to me at all based on my nieces and nephews and how they watch TV. So Sarah, Katie's daughter, is a huge Big Brother fan, but she does not watch it on a television set at all.
My children don't watch TV.
Yeah, no, I was asking Jake, I said, "So are you watching Dark Matter or Killjoys, the shows I think you'd like?" No, that's television, and he doesn't do that.
So do they not watch television shows, or they don't watch television shows on the television, they watch it on an iPad or a phone?
They don't really watch television shows.
Although Big Brother's a television show, and she does watch it, but she watches it through their streaming services when she wants to watch it.
Yeah, but remember, Big Brother has that 24-hour live stream, and then a bunch of web content that they don't put on TV.
Yes.
So really... I think if she was confined, if the television show was the only thing that she could watch, her interest might not be as great as it is when she can totally be a voyeur 24 hours, which is horrible. I seriously am in jail because of this show.
I asked Alex, I said, "What was the last thing you binged?" And she was like, "Easy." She said, "Gossip Girl." And she said, and I said, "Gossip, that just doesn't seem like our Alex." And she goes, "It is so addictive." She said she watched 8 episodes in a row.
Okay, well, I will say this. It's funny that you should talk about that, because I had a hard time with this, because I have pretty much I don't watch a lot of TV, mostly because I realize that on the road, with all the YouTube content and streaming content of other things that I like, I didn't need television shows. And then with the DVR, I recorded a whole bunch, but I don't have time to watch it when I'm home. So I'm behind on so many things. So when I was trying to come up with something I would binge, well, I don't really binge. And then I thought, oh yeah, I do binge, but it's not what you would like classically think. So I'm very excited to share these with you.
Oh, nice. Is there anything that you didn't pick today? Your two of our eight things. I just thought we'd go around quickly that you binged recently that you weren't going to talk about. And I'll just mention mine. And it was Dexter. I'm supposed to be studying for my registered dietitian exam, and therefore I started watching Dexter, which is, I think, 8 or 9 seasons, so bad idea. And I actually got through every season. This is how much I was procrastinating studying, anything to procrastinate, to not study. This is a great show. It finally ended. It was a Showtime show, so it's on Netflix now. And I got through up into the last season. I'm saving it. So it's my little dessert post-exam is the last season. Even though I've read there's a controversial ending where things don't end, did not kind of please the audience.
A Sopranos kind of ending?
Oh, worse. It's worse? A bad, bad ending. Oh,
okay. I've already spoiled it for myself, which is helpful, I think, because I didn't want to be disappointed. But I've heard, and so I'm mentally prepared. I still want to finish it out. But I have to say, that show was amazing. It's about a serial killer who basically has this code that his dad, his foster dad, raised him so that he could deal with these sociopathic tendencies that he has by just killing people who are bad. And sounds like a horrible premise for a show, but they really pull it off, and it's phenomenal. This guy has a kid, and
yeah, and the reason the stepdad realizes what he is, like, even when he was a child. So rather than getting him help, he points him in the right direction on how to channel these.
He's like, my son's going to murder people, so I'm just going to help him out and murder people right.
Mm-hmm. That's revolting.
I know, and I love this.
Not as revolting as the fact that the brother and sister on this show got married in real life. Yeah, let that go through your head. Yeah,
they did?
Yeah.
Those actors? Oh my gosh,
and
I
then
love
they
those
divorced.
Actors so much. The actress that plays his sister.
It's all going over my head. I've never seen any of this.
Same here, I haven't watched anything.
But the actress
Dexter.
That plays his sister, I love her so much, and she was just in Limitless, which is a show that I mentioned when I was on the Geektitude program, and he said, what are people not, you know, want mm-hmm. enough, people aren't watching enough that they should. That was the show that I mentioned, the show Limitless, and she plays an FBI agent, totally different character from the character when she's actually playing a police detective. But yeah, so she's one of the reasons why I love both shows. She's an amazing actress, and I can't remember her name. I think it's Deborah something.
It is Deborah something. I don't know what her last name is.
Yeah. So anyway, anybody else binge something that they actually isn't their choices for today? But
no, I don't binge, so I only have these two.
Okay, I have something. I'm so excited. Okay, it's not a
this
show.
This is a way for you guys to have three, by the way. I'm just telling you right now.
But this isn't a TV show. This would be if we had like a WEC, whatever, like our little short or whatever. I just found this podcast, and it only had, so, and it's new, and there's only been like 6 episodes, and they're really short, but it's a Scottish podcast, and it's this guy who's a former DJ, who got fired off his last job, and he's trying to find some way to get rich, basically, and he's using podcasting, and they're in Edinburgh, and there's like, you know, cities are built on top of cities, so they're just going to do like a kind of a ghost hunt, and his like sidekick is a former musician whose bandmate played a horrible trick on him, so that he basically went to the bathroom on live TV, and it's like building, but it's an interesting story. They're really short, so it's easy to listen to a whole bunch of them at once, and love the brogue. And they're really small. Like on Twitter, they only have like 60 followers. But oh my gosh, I love it, and I want it to do really well. So, and yay. I just binged it. So I figured
nice. That yeah, that totally fits.
Okay, well, if we're gonna talk about stuff other than TV, there's a new game called A Guild of Dungeoneering. It's not new, but it was only out on Steam before, and now it's on your mobile devices. So this morning, I got very excited and I downloaded it because I've been wanting to play it for a long time, and it's like a card game. And it's so great, and the music is so great. It's called The Guild of Dungeoneering, and it's got like this, you know, old-timey little folk song to it, and these little characters, and it's a card game, but it's with artwork and you're fighting monsters with cards. It's, I don't know.
So it's
hard
not
to explain.
Like a video game. It's a game on your phone. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's really good.
And so did you
and
get
I binged
addicted?
It all morning.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Mainly because there's so many free-to-play games, and this is not a free-to-play. This one, I think, was $3.99. But the nice thing about paying for something is that I don't have only 5 lives, and then you have to wait and place more. So this morning I was like, okay, it's down. I downloaded it, and then I just immediately started playing, and I, of course, died a whole bunch of times because it's really easy to die, and then they have a little graveyard of all your dead dudes. So, anyways.
That's adorable.
Mine, you know, in fact, as I was coming here, I was thinking, you know, should I mention this? But now here's my opportunity. If we actually do another episode on, like TV shows that we watch as kind of comfort, like the TV version of comfort food, like my brother, for example, used to watch Bob Ross painting. Because after a day of work, he would like wind down because of the calmness of Bob Ross's voice,
that's
and
such
it was
a
just
great show.
It's just very soothing. It's almost like playing for me, kind of light classical music in the background. I could just like
when I was a kid, I vividly remember having that on the weekends.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Sitting there watching him make those trees. How are you making those trees, Bob?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And but that's not my thing. My thing is actually diametrically opposed to that, and it's kind of like a what do you call it? What's something like a word for something opposite of soothing? Diametrically opposed, I suppose. It's
we're of no help.
Right,
we're just
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You're on your own.
I'm waiting for feedback. Got none. My binge watch.
You could download a thesaurus really quick if you want.
My binge watching thing is World War II in color. Now, I have to explain this because I'm a World War II kind of like an amateur, you know, I can't even say scholar. It's just, you know, I like watching documentaries on World War II. And this is a British series. It's, I don't know, like 13 episodes long. And the guy who does it is I don't know, kind of a soothing voice to me. But I'm watching war. I'm watching people die all the time. And it's Nazis, and it's Imperial Japan, and all this stuff. And I'm watching war. But for some reason, it just puts me into this, like, calm state as I'm watching it. Probably because of the how I react to the guy's voice. I think his name is Robert Evans, who does the voice. But I swear to you, I will look at Netflix, and I will go and I'll go, okay, do I want to watch Bob's Burgers? Do I want to watch Archer? Let's just put on World War II in color. And I swear I will watch like 3 episodes in a row just because it puts me in that state.
Okay, so is that binging for you, 3 episodes in a row?
No. I could do the whole series in a day.
I was going to say, because binging for me is much worse, and
no.
I'm a little embarrassed for that.
No, the other two that I have are, you know, these are obsessive things, so that's my one that I wasn't going to mention.
All right, very cool. All right, well, let's start, and in the middle, in between our first one and our second one, I've got a little question for you all, so.
Excellent, I love questions!
And now I'm nervous.
Be prepared.
Well, I was thinking for our last one, we could have done one of those things where you design, like, you do, like, remember how we designed the tabletop game?
Right.
And then we would and then we would have to guess what the movie was that would, like, perfectly fit that scenario. We should have done it.
Yes.
Anyways, go ahead.
Too late.
Yeah.
Okay, Katie, you go. Tell us about your top 8.
Okay, I'm so excited for both of these, but I'm going to start with the one that is probably the... more something that I do every day, and I highly recommend this. And it's and there's a term for them, and you can binge them on YouTube, and it's basically a let's play. And I'm gonna recommend a couple and just try to explain what a let's play is. So let's play has been around for I guess 15 years or so, but the idea is when you so back and so there's two different kinds of ways that you could watch other people play video games. One is, like, when I would be playing a game and I'd get stuck, I would go and I'd look for a walkthrough online. Right. And then I'd find the what would help get me through that point, and then I would continue on in my game. The other kind of thing you would access for games would be called Let's Plays. And I don't have a lot of time to play video games, but I love video games. And I especially love the narrative-style video games. And the people that play them and do it with a humorous, funny, or entertaining kind of commentary as they're playing it. And it allows me to watch, for example, Shadows of Mordor, which came out, I don't know, two years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Which is an excellent story, and it takes place in between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And it has this, basic, this warrior played by Troy Baker.
Who's that?
Troy Baker's a very famous voiceover actor. Okay. He pretty much is in a lot of the major video games. And they also did the motion capture of his face. And because I was trying to figure out who it was, I was like, he's really, really cute. Oh, it's Troy Baker.
And that was disappointing one.
And it's not disappointing. He's a really super guy. But it was just interesting to me. So, and this warrior basically dies and his whole family dies, but he's brought back in kind of spirit form. And it has a fantastic set of interesting aspects to this game. Well, it's not necessarily a game that I would have time to play, and yet I enjoyed watching the story and the cutscenes. And the person that played it that I like is Jesse Cox. I think I've talked about him before. But he plays games the way I play games, which is at the beginning of every scene, right, they normally send you forward. Your job is to turn around and go back and look for loot. So I'm never frustrated when I'm watching him play. So I can watch, and he'll set it up as, so you go on to a playlist, and you'll have, I think there's 48 videos, and each one's maybe 20 to 30 minutes long. And you just go to the playlist and click play, and it'll just keep on going. There's that one, and then there's also Dead Space 3, which is another one of my favorites that he did, because he did it with Dodger Lee. So Dodger, she's a video game player. But there's the thing about Dead Space is that this one allowed for co-op, and there was two different, like, almost they were seeing two different things. And the one person that Dodger was playing, he was having like hallucinations. But Jesse, because you're looking at Jesse's view of the game, he has no idea what she's seeing. And she's over there going, God dang it! And she's shooting, and Jesse's like, what is happening? She goes, you can't see this? There's literally balloons all over this room. And you're just looking at this, like, desolate spaceship going, what is she seeing? But
what's the premise of Dead Space?
It's see, that's another one of these games where it's set way out yonder, and there's aliens, and it's just, you know, them trying to survive and save the Earth kind of thing.
Are they in a spaceship? Is that, it takes place in a spaceship?
This one takes place on different planets and spaceships, and it starts on one planet, and then they go into space, and it's just...
Is Dead Space, that's literally space, is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was like Dead Space in your mind when you're on house arrest.
No, remember, go back last week when I was talking about my calm. You're talking about World War II, like me with my first-person shooter.
Right, yeah.
But anyways, there's so many good ones out there, but I can say that, and this is like super, like, fly your freak flag, because I'm just being super honest with you guys. This is what I binge on. But there's really good ones out there. There's WoW Krendor, Jesse Cox, Dodger Lee, and John Bain. They're basically a unit, and they do a lot of things together. They're pro, they're positive, they're not negative. There's a whole bunch of others out there that are good, they're fine, but either for one reason or another, I don't gravitate toward them, you know. I think you and I just remember when I sent you guys a messenger of that little, you know, those little dudes that were shouting America and they were throwing bombs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an example of a Let's Play. It was Terraria. And basically Jesse Cox and Total Biscuit were playing Terraria. And you just basically hit the playlist and it just goes. So I can be working on reports or something and just kind of having this in the background. And it's very entertaining. So that's nice. My binge.
Nice, I love it. That's fantastic.
And I highly recommend it if you think, oh, you know, I'm sort of interested in this game, but I'm not sure if I've had time for it. Like, The Witcher. Jesse did The Witcher 2, and he's also started The Witcher 3, and that's actually something that I will calm myself down at night to. I'll just you know, save that and watch it for 20
And you do this on YouTube? Mm-hmm. Okay. Not Twitch, or is it... Mm-mm. Okay.
Twitch is kind of live streams.
I was going to mention, because you mentioned Shadows of Mordor, and Ryan Day, Felicia Day's brother, for a long time would live stream on Twitch playing Shadows of Mordor. Now, he's a Scotch drinker, and he loves jazz, and he loves a lot of different kind of music, and so he'll play... And as he's like killing with orcs with the ranger, and he's like strangling people, or like, you know, what's the thing in Shadows of Mordor where you like some kind of mind thing that they
that's
do?
That's the nemesis system.
Yeah. The I'm not going to mention what Ryan Day calls it because it's overtly sexual, but. The greatest thing about watching him do that, and I feel like I totally relate to the fun that you have watching this, is that he's extremely funny, and sometimes he would play the goofiest music, like, and on the chat people would say, okay, recommend a song, and so I recommended Devo's Whip It. And so he started cracking up when I typed that in the chat and immediately did that. He could barely play the game as he's listening to Devo Whip It. And it was so funny. And
that's what's fun about Twitch, is like you can live interact.
Yeah.
The problem, like Felicia Day does... she's playing Tomb Raider right now.
Oh, okay.
So every couple of weeks or so, she'll get on and do 2-3 hours of Tomb Raider, which is a game I've always wanted to play but never had the time. So basically, she uploads those to YouTube, and I watch them on YouTube. And the thing I like about YouTube is I can pause it.
Yeah.
And I don't miss anything, whereas if you pause something on Twitch, when you hit play again, you've missed whatever they did before. It doesn't go back. But they're hysterical. And when she's doing Tomb Raider, because you have to kill animals... She's made up this voice now. So as she's playing, if she kills an animal, she's like, "You killed my father!" Like, just dying laughing.
Yeah, I mean, they're both really great. And when you were talking about how Jesse would play against somebody else and they weren't on the screen and they would be saying, "You can't see the thing that I'm seeing," Ryan and Felicia Day would do the same thing. And depending on which Twitch stream you're watching, you did get the same reaction. Yeah. So, but that's my taste of that. And the thing about Ryan Day is he's, you know, super... what he used to do for Shadows of Mordor is he called it the kill and chill stream.
Oh,
so
right,
he would play like jazz, but he would be killing people with his his ranger and all that. So it was like so fun. And all those stuff you could find on YouTube. So
nice. Nice. Cool. Kelly, you're on house arrest.
So I'm on house arrest. And I'm actually going to talk about the last episode, the last series I binge watched, which I actually watched the entire series in one day. Which I did last Sunday.
How many episodes in this entire series?
10. Okay. 10 half-hour episodes. And whereas yours was where your happy place was, this is not my happy place. Because it was Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me about that.
Oh my gosh. It have you seen it?
No, but is this like the most recent season that you binged?
Yeah, there's only one season. Because season 2 doesn't start until October.
Okay.
So... Ash vs. the Evil Dead is a series based on the Evil Dead movies, loosely based. I don't think there's any kind of continuity between any of them.
I don't think they care.
No. It stars Bruce Campbell, who I love.
Who's like a cult famous dude from the Evil Dead. I mean, okay. That guy's famous for like very little.
And it's awesome. And the Evil Dead... was created, the original movie, by Sam Raimi, who has gone on to direct the original Spider-Man movies. He's very famous. I mean, he's done
Titanic.
A lot.
Titanic.
Yeah. What is it?
I thought Sam Raimi did the Titanic.
No, that's James Cameron.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did Sam Raimi do?
Spider-Man.
He did that HBO series. It was kind of this American something.
American Pickers.
She's like, that's James Cameron.
No.
He did Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh,
what's the HBO show?
He did Darkman. What else? He did the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. That's what he's mostly famous for.
Oh, the Spider-Man.
Yeah, right. Spider-Man.
All right.
And what's really funny is if you've ever watched the shows Xena, Warrior Princess, or Hercules. If you look at him, you can tell that his brother is in those shows because the two of them look exactly alike.
Yes.
And so the reason why Bruce Campbell is so closely related to stuff that Sam Raimi did is because they grew up together.
Oh.
So he talks about in an interview, Sam Raimi's brother's Ted. He talks about Bruce Campbell says that at one point he was told if he wanted to continue to eat at the Raimi household, he needed to start picking up and taking little Teddy to his cello lessons. I thought that was funny. Anyway, so Ash vs. the Evil Dead takes place now. Ash is in his, I guess Bruce Campbell must be in his late 50s. So you see him, he's about to go out to pick up chicks. Putting on this corset, I mean a literal corset, sucking himself in. He lost, if you ever watched the show, watched the first movie, he loses his hand because it becomes evil, so he cut it off. So he has a wood hand. He's absolutely ridiculous. And the theme throughout the whole series is, if there is a wrong decision, that's the one he's going to make. And it's just nothing but wrong decision after wrong decision. The other person who's in it who I absolutely love is Lucy Lawless.
She's great.
Oh my gosh.
And the reason she's in it is because she's married to one of the producers, who was also a producer of Xena. I mean, that's not why. She's actually a really good actress and she does a really good job. But, I mean, that's how she's all interrelated with all this stuff. It's very gory. I mean, like, I think in every episode, at least one person is just covered head to toe in blood. Limbs are flying. It's gross, but it's funny. And it's just, it's well worth it. It's a popcorn
thing. What's the supernatural premise? Like, is there zombies? Or
They're not really zombies. It's when, in the book, in the movie The Evil Dead, they go to a cabin and they find this book, which the Grandma Gobmagon or something. And they decide to read, I don't know what the hell it's called. It's got a human face on it. It's made out of human skin. The writing is in blood.
Ew.
And so they read out of it and it summoned these evil spirits back. Well, what happened, he's been on the run now. So Ash is the only survivor. He's been on the run for like however long, like 20 years or whatever. He gets stoned one night to impress a woman who said she liked poetry. He reads out of the book again and summons them all to him. All
right. There you go.
And so then what happens is when someone dies, they can take over this, like, these spirits can take over that body. And you know it's them because their face kind of gets gross and their eyes go white. But they're not really zombies because they're not, like, mindless shambling. They're, like, talking to him. And along the way, he meets... He works at like a Walmart type store,
right?
And this guy who he basically tricks into doing his work for him and stuff, whose name I think is Pablo, and then Pablo's friend who also he just got a job for there is Kelly. Hey, yay! And it's a Kelly who's not a slut. I was so excited because they're all it's just a theme. I don't know why.
So they embrace your true self. Don't find it.
Embrace the slut within you. Is that what we're saying?
So they end up like fighting, and they end up like trying to beat these things. And the whole thing that Ash wants is he wants Jacksonville. That's his goal, is Jacksonville, because that's where the party is, and that's where he can keep the party going. And he's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous.
I've always wanted to watch it, but I've never had the guts because of the gore.
It's very gory.
What is it on? Is it a Showtime?
It is a... no, it's...
Is it a Netflix original?
No. It's one of the pay stations because I don't have Netflix.
Stars? Okay. Or?
It's Stars. It's
okay.
Stars.
Okay, Stars. And then what did you watch it on?
I watched it on Stars.
You watched it on Stars. Okay. And so you binged it, like you taped it.
So it's on... Yeah. So what Stars had did is in order for... Because of being Comic-Con weekend... They marathoned all of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, and another thing is on demand is another good way to binge shows.
Except you can't fast forward or go back.
It depends. If it's like HBO, Showtime, those kind of shows, you can.
Oh, good.
In fact, if it's ABC, CBS, or NBC, you can. It's Flippin' Fox that you can. This is why I hate Rupert Murdoch.
I actually remembered why I know Bruce Campbell, because I never saw Evil Dead, and I know of his cult following, but it was Burn Notice, where he plays like a kind of a side character, but just, he's like serious acting. I mean, there are humorous moments in Burn Notice, but But he's a really great actor. I mean, it was a really good character.
It was a good show. I loved Burn Notice.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the reasons people, you know, because the main woman and man are just gorgeous, and he just kind of brings actual real people to it. I think.
And actually, the show that I first saw him in that made me love him was Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah, I never saw that.
And you're talking about, I'm sorry, Bruce Campbell you're talking about?
Started, it was one season, yeah. It was a Western, it was funny. Yeah, and I was really upset when
John Delancey, who played Q in Star Trek The Next Generation, was a major character in that.
I'll have to go back and try. I've always wanted to watch that and never have.
Yeah, I don't know where it's even, maybe, I wonder if it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cult classic for some people.
I just remember another cult classic he did. That was Bubba Hotep. Did any of you see that? That was a really indie, yeah, it was 2002 indie movie where he played an aged Elvis Presley.
Right.
So it's this kind of alternate reality where Elvis Presley really didn't die. But it was...
Because he's a mummy?
He's in a nursing home, but there are, yes, a natural...
I've heard interviews with him, and he just like comes off so natural and real, and not threatening. Even though I would be threatened.
And by the way, he was also in Hercules and Xena, because once again, they all work together all the time.
It's like there's the Whedonverse and then there's the Raimiverse.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
It's like all the same actors follow him in all the TV shows and stuff, so it's great.
That's cool. Nice. All right, Kevin.
Okay, my binge is actually something that I haven't seen in a long, long time, and that's, so this would be my effort to reacquaint myself with a TV show that I loved a long time ago, and that's Robotech. Now, have you guys heard of Robotech? Or
yes.
Okay.
No. I used to watch that. I rush home from high school every day to watch.
Yeah.
Really? I don't even know what it is.
So, Robotech, for Americans, Robotech is this long 85-episode anime, which at the time was like the greatest animation that was on television at the time. And it was released by a company called Harmony Gold, and what happened was it was in three parts. And a lot of Americans didn't realize that all the three parts were not one TV show. What they did is they took three separate TV shows and put it all under the Robotech banner. So if you go back and you watch each one of these separate shows, the first one is called the Super Dimension Fortress Macross. That's the Japanese name. Then the second one is Super Dimension Cavalry Southern Cross. The second series. The third is Genesis Climber Mospita. Now, what America did is they changed the story to fit the whole Robotech thing. And essentially, just as a short description of it, there are these aliens who have this thing called Robotechnology, and there's a war above Earth, and this massive ship called the SDF-1 crashes in, I don't know, it's like maybe somewhere around Japan or whatever, but it crashes and nobody knows what it is. But what they do is they, over the years, over like maybe 100 years or so, they develop like a city around this ship to try and they're trying to discover what this ship does. But they haven't really... And they're able to get a lot of things to work, but they don't know fully what it does. Until the aliens come back. The bad guy aliens called the Zentradi race. And so now, all of a sudden, the SDF-1 starts, like, turning on again. And so now they're in a fully operational kind of battleship. And that has... They realize the capability of warping away from, like, their galaxy into a faraway galaxy. So... The enemy starts bombarding the Earthlings in this ship because essentially they want the ship back. They want to take over the ship. But the humans are, you know, trying to understand the technology, and they find out about this warp thing, and they just, like, because they're losing, they hit the warp button or whatever. And so basically to escape annihilation. And so they go all the way back to like Venus or something, far away from the battle. And so they have a little bit of time left before the aliens catch up to them. In the meantime, you're following a series of characters. The main character is Rick Hunter, who's like this brash pilot type who flies kind of like jet fighters in space that convert into two different types. There's like a fighter, there's like a cross fighter with legs that come down, and then arms that come down with that shoot like in a gun. And then there's a full thing, which is like an anime humanoid robot. So constantly, depending on what battle they're doing, they're in a different formation. So you're following Rick Hunter. You're following this female singer called Min Mei, who has a crush, alternately a crush on Rick, but also she's playing hard to get, and so he has a crush on her. And there's like this total love triangle, because there's this woman who is one of the commanders of the ship, has this secret crush on Rick. And so the whole first section is this triangle of Rick liking the singer, this commander liking Rick. Nobody seems to like each other until things start going on. So without getting into the specifics of the story, it was like anime soap opera to me. Every episode. and see, the thing is, you have to... I say it's a soap opera because you can't miss an episode. Because it was the first... animated I'd ever seen where the story progresses specifically, and there's no like bottle episodes. You can't just watch an episode and go, okay, that was that, and then skip five and then catch up. You have to watch every single thing, because surprise, surprise, people die in this series. And it you follow these people, and I just remember in 1985, Kelly, you could probably back me up on this, when people die, you feel it. And so you're like, yeah. There are times when you're like, holy crap, this like major character just died.
And because, yeah, if it was like, 80, yeah, so I'm like 15. And so, and there's romance, and I want him to be with her, and I don't want him to be with the other person, and I want them to, and why, yeah, it was the first cartoon that I can remember where it was more based, where an adult could enjoy it.
Yes.
I mean, at 15, how much of an adult are you? But you know what I mean?
Oh, no. That ticks all the things adult. I love.
Oh,
and what can you watch it on now?
It's on Amazon Prime. Wow. And it's actually in two versions. It's in a broadcast version, the one that Kelly and I watched. And then it's in a remastered version. And unfortunately, I don't know what they've done to the remastered version, but you can pick your poison, I suppose.
And I think there's talk that they're going to redo it.
I don't know the specifics of that, but I've heard that too, yeah. And there's always talk of people doing a live-action version of it. But in my opinion, the second two series, while entertaining, is nothing like the first series. The one with Rick Hunter and the love triangle and the Zentradi race and all that. There's so much that goes on that is not as freaky as some of the anime that I see now. It's more kind of, it's more normal actually than any of the series that I've seen now. And I think that's what I liked about it, because it's not too out there. And because of the love story, as much as I'm not like a romance guy, I could love the battle stuff and also love the romance stuff. I got sucked into that so much. And I'm like looking at this commander going, I really wish you got with Rick. And every time that Rick would like, you know, completely ignore her, I'm like, come on, you know, she's standing right there.
That's so funny you mentioned soap opera. And that's really how they get us. You know, that's really why we binge, because of this style of storytelling, where that's what happened with Dexter. I mean, I was... planning on doing an episode a week. I was like, I can do this, an episode a week. No, no, I could not, because the episode ends and you immediately need to watch the next one to find out what happens. And I remember this from my favorite authors. I remember this from Lord of the Rings. J.R. Tolkien had the same technique where he's telling various stories and you end one chapter and you're in one person's story and then you're reading someone else's story and you're like, but he just left this guy in limbo, so you're rushing through the book to hear the ending of everyone's stories. Stephen King did that. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite writers, Sharon Shin, did that famously. I could never put her books down because of the way she left me on the hook at the end of a chapter and then would go tell someone else's story and leave them on the off, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, no, they're horrible the way that they do this to us. It's like binge watching is hardly our fault. Yeah. I don't blame us for this addiction we have.
Now, TV producers know what lures people into their shows, and they do it. They're shameless about it. It's like, I don't mind it at all.
And this actually kind of leads into the question I have for everyone, but I will do mine quickly first. But I would need to get the plague in the fall because there's a show that's coming back. It took a minor hiatus because of The X-Files and 50 Shades of Grey. So this was a show, and I've talked about it on a long time ago on WEC, but it's called The Fall, and it stars Gillian Anderson and Jamie Dornan.
All right.
Yeah, and so this is a BBC crime drama set and filmed in Northern Ireland, and Gillian Anderson plays a detective that they call up from London when there's a murder that occurs, and it's so many days have passed, and they haven't solved the murder, so they bring in an expert. And so she goes up there, and very quickly they realize that they have a serial killer on their hand. What's unique about this crime show is they tell the story not just from her perspective, the detective's perspective, but from the very first episode you know who the serial killer is, because they're also telling the story from the serial killer's perspective, which is played by Jamie Dornan in an unbelievable performance. And the interesting thing about this character is that he has a wife, and he has one or two children. I can't remember. I saw this so long ago. This originally came out in 2013. And so I binged the first two seasons, and the end of the second season leaves you in the total cliffhanger. Total, like, the most, like, extreme cliffhanger you can imagine. And believe me, I was, like, outraged. And at that point, X-Files was coming out, 50 Shades of Grey. I was like, I'm screwed. They might never even finish this show. But I guess this fall, they've already filmed it. It's going to be coming out. And what I've heard is that they're going to wrap up his storyline. Thank goodness. Because you really need him off the... He needs to be gone. He is a horrible, horrible, evil man. And this serial killer must be either dead or locked up. I'm hoping dead. But I've heard that they love her character so much, and I love her character so much, that they're going to possibly bring The Fall back if she agrees, and they have more story arcs for her, which is kind of unheard of when you have a show that has three mm-hmm. seasons devoted to two main characters. But what was really cool is, in researching for this, there was an article on Atlantic Monthly called The Fall, the Most Feminist Show on Television. And I have to agree, there's so many qualities. And it says it starts off a crime drama about a psychosexual killer who stalks, tortures, and murders young women. Doesn't sound like an obvious choice for the most feminist show on television. And it's a typical murderous trope, you know, that, yeah, we all are kind of sick and tired of men murdering women mm-hmm. for their sexual fantasies or whatever. But it's her character that makes this the most feminist show on television. She basically comes in as a woman, detective, as an expert into this, you know, Irish station, and there's no question about her expertise. Nobody's challenging her as a woman. There's none of this. It's just she comes in, she's respected, she's an authority figure. Her work ethic is like amazing. All of her confidants on the show are women, and so she's when she goes to people who she's looking for advice and expertise, you know, like Archie Punjabi is one of the side characters. I don't think she was in Good Wife, so I think this started in 2013. I think she left in the second season, in the end of the first season, but she's one of the amazing female characters on this show. So anyway, despite the fact that they're telling two stories from two point of views, it is a really great, strong female character that... And I love the show so much, I'm going to watch it from the very beginning because it's been too long now. I have to refresh my memory, and I'm so excited to be able to watch it from beginning to end without a stinking cliffhanger.
Is it on Netflix?
It is on Netflix, and hopefully, because it is a BBC show, so I think they're going to release it on the BBC episode by episode, like episodically. But I'll catch it when it's finally released in full on Netflix, so I can binge it. Although maybe I won't.
Is it going to be PBS or BBC?
It's BBC.
It is BBC.
It is BBC. Yeah. So that brings me to my question for you all. So Netflix has a binge scale. Have you heard of their binge scale?
No.
So this is, you know, relatively new. They have a lot of research on how we watch television because a lot of the things we're binging are on Netflix. Not everyone, but, you know, not Kelly, but... and they looked at how and what shows. There were two categories they came up with. They came up with Savor, which is basically, and they talked about shows like House of Cards and Bloodline. And Bloodline, it was interesting that they mentioned Bloodline, because my mom and I, quote-unquote, savored Bloodline, which is a show about a family in Florida, and there's lots of backstory. And my mom and I it wasn't a binge-worthy show. We watched it we're like, hey, let's watch an episode. And then the next week, hey, let's watch another Bloodline episode. We loved the show, but we weren't obsessed with it. We didn't have to sit down and watch it like crazy people. And then their other category...
I'm sorry, hold on. So Savor essentially means that you don't binge it in one sitting. You kind of space it out over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other category is Devour. So this would be like the Orphan Black. When I first got into Orphan Black, I literally devoured. And just recently, I couldn't remember this first season. I literally devoured the first season. Kind of fast forwarding and looking at the main parts. I also devoured Peaky Blinders because I was just so, I wanted to watch it quickly, but I kind of just ran through all the episodes. So my question to you all is, for the first show you mentioned, was it Devour or is it Savor?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask for two new ones, because I was going to say I savored Supernatural when I went back and bought all
No,
those.
That's good. You could, yeah, mention another one.
Because it was like, I would watch a couple of episodes and then I'd be done, and then I would watch a couple of episodes and be done, because it was so great, and I just wanted to sit with the story before I went to the next episode, even though I had all the DVDs, and it would have been very easy to just power through it, but it was, sometimes they were scary as crap, and so I needed a break. Then I would say I devoured Critical Role. That is that show on Twitch, but they post all the episodes on Geek and Sundry. And to try to catch up to the live shows, I mean, I could not, and I still cannot get enough of the show. And so I would just power through. And each episode is like 3 to 4 hours long, sometimes five. So, I mean, you're talking about a tremendous investment in time, but that would have been a devour. So, but I guess, you know, in terms of Let's Plays, it's Devour. I just devour all the games because I want to see it from beginning to end, and it enables you to do that without having to play it.
Mine was I devoured it because I watched it all at once, but I could have savored it. I just wanted to clean out my DVR. But for Devour, which isn't the other one I'm going to talk about, but Sherlock, that I devoured, that I couldn't stop. It has to be, and Mr. Robot, that I devoured. That one actually, for season two, I have sitting on there because I want to watch it all at once. And it's so intricate that it's easier to watch it all at once because you forget so much. I think that's what's a big motivating force in the devour.
That's true. That would be a key factor.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's why there are some very complicated television shows that you watch from week to week, and you get to the end, you're like, I think Person of Interest was one of them. It was so complicated. Mom and I would be looking at each other going, what just happened? Wait a minute. I don't remember that character. That was like 4 episodes ago. We're like totally lost. So yeah. I love Person of Interest. I think it's a great show, but it should be devoured if you want to actually understand what's going on.
Because I haven't actually binged Robotech, and I haven't really seen the whole series since 1985, and we only had VCRs back then, that would have been a saver, but I didn't have a choice back then. So what I'll mention is Lady Dynamite was a devour. It was, I mean, I did that in 2 days. And so I tend to, you know, it's really funny. It depends on the type of show, but like Bob's Burgers, I know each one of those episodes is kind of like its own thing. So I can watch like 5 Bob's Burgers episodes at a time, or one, or whatever. So I could probably savor Bob's Burgers more than I can, say, a Lady Dynamite, or like Daredevil, or, you know, like Daredevil, I just started watching, you know, one after the other, so.
Sorry, I'm shaking my head because in prepped, because I know I'm next, I opened up my iPad so I could reference the show I'm talking about. And I found this card. My son went to a quinceañera last night, and he told me this morning, he said, "Mom, I've got all these Jesus pictures. I put them all over the house so you can find Jesus."
So there's a Jesus picture.
I just found Jesus.
That's a good segue.
Because I watch over, I'm like, what are you doing with that?
I know. It's like, what is this?
I apologize. No. I was listening to what you were saying, but it was just so freaking funny because all I could say is, "Come, ding, ding."
That's beautiful. I was at the end.
You know, it's really helpful now that they're making series shorter. Like, The Fall is just 5 or 6 episodes. And so if you are in the devour mode, you don't, you know, kill yourself. I mean, like, yeah. I was really upset about when I got into addicted to Dexter, because it was like 9 seasons, I think, 10 episodes a season. I mean, it was, or 12 episodes, I think. I mean, seriously, what a time commitment. I was in bad shape. Plus, it's about murders, not my happy place. So that was, I don't know. Whenever I'm procrastinating, I tend to do this to myself. And I think just the producers, as mean as they're being, they're also being a little kinder by giving us more devourable, you know, pieces of
Remember, Sherlock, only 3 episodes a
season.
That's
Sherlock, right. Great example.
They're an hour and a half a piece.
They're really good, too.
Yeah.
Each episode of
Did
movie.
Did you see Mark Gatiss at Comic-Con, and they were asking him who was going to be the Sherlock's third brother.
The showrunner?
Yeah.
They were like, who's going to... And somebody says, it's going to be Tom Hiddleston, isn't it? And he goes, I can't say if it is or isn't. And everybody's like, what?
Did you see it later? Yeah, we like Tom. He's blood.
Yeah, well, they said... Yeah, but see, B-L-U-D is apparently slang for like a friend or something like that. And then everybody freaked out because he tweeted blood with him
what
with Tom Hiddleston. Because blood. Because Mark Gatiss plays Mycroft. And
who's the big bad?
No, he's the older brother.
Yeah, so the
they insinuate that he might be bad.
The Holmes brothers are Sherlock, Mycroft, and Sherrinford. It's like, what was your mother thinking?
Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was funny.
So wait, but explain the blood thing.
Blood. So like, you guys are blood.
Oh, so they haven't introduced the third brother.
They introduced him. Yeah.
So they were at Comic-Con, and Mark Gatiss had his shoulder around Tom Hiddleston, and he had blood, B-L-U-D, and everybody freaked out. So it was like confirmation.
Oh, okay.
No, they're filming it right now. And at Comic-Con, they had like a flash reel, like, which I've watched like 3 times now. I'm so excited.
I've been watching the Nerd HQ interviews, mm-hmm. you know, that Zachary Levi does, gradually, as I can. So I've seen like the Tom Hiddleston one and a few others. So they're so good.
HQ, is that the name of his show?
Nerd HQ.
Nerd HQ is a charity. It's
for Operation Smile.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they get a lot of nerd people to talk, and they also auction stuff.
Right. And Zachary Levi hosts it, and he loses his voice like most of the time before it's over. But anybody who's donated money can sit in the audience and ask questions, and it's really intimate. It's kind of this small little...
Yeah, you buy tickets. It's the same weekend as Comic-Con, but it's not, you don't have to have a ticket to Comic-Con in order to go to it.
So
and Operation Smile, really good thing about this is 100% of what he collects,
He gives
to them. So there's no he doesn't collect any fees. Yeah. He doesn't pay anybody. It all goes to Operation Smile, which is to go to third world countries and fix cleft palates.
And then what he does is puts it on his channel. So if you go to the Nerd Machine on YouTube, you can see these interviews. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know. I love Zachary Levi.
Yeah, and even if you don't go to the panels, for free, you can go in. You have to register, but you can go in and there's video games. You could sit there and play. There's Wi-Fi, all this kind of stuff.
So if you don't get your Comic-Con tickets, you weren't lucky enough. Right. You've got an alternative.
Yes.
Yeah, and now Geek and Sundry and Nerdist are doing the same thing. They called it Carnival this year.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's in. They take over Petco. All right, you ready for mine?
I'm ready. Wait.
Okay, so I'm stuck in my house because of the dang Big Brother Bachelorette comments, and I've binged all my shows, all of Robotech, and I watched The Evil Dead and Dexter even though I didn't want to. And then Fall because Gillian Anderson, she can do no wrong. And I was like, oh no, but what's funny about you talking about Robotech is the one I'm going to talk about is Avatar The Last Airbender.
So what
would happen is when my kids were little, so this is back in 2005, my kids were little. That was a long time ago.
Not little enough.
I would walk through the living room and Avatar The Last Airbender would be on and I'd be like, gah, and you just stop and I would be stuck for like an hour. And Nickelodeon, it was on Nickelodeon, and they would play episode after episode after episode after episode. They wouldn't just play one. And then gradually after it'd been on, then they would play the episodes and they'd have, there's a name for it, but they would have little pop-up windows that would pop up and give you behind the scenes facts.
Oh, kind of like the old pop-up video on VH1.
Yes, exactly.
On VH1.
And yeah. So then I was fascinated by that because I would sit there and I'd be like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And so this is now on Amazon Prime. And what's fascinating about it is if you want, I didn't know this about Amazon Prime. You guys probably already knew this, but you can get behind the scenes trivia.
X-ray.
X-ray?
Isn't that the X-ray?
I believe that's what it's called. Yeah.
That's what it's called.
When I watch Doctor Who episodes on Amazon Prime, I get all the trivia.
Oh, well, see, okay, so I'll tell you the reason why I discovered this. Because I was like, okay, that's the first show I thought of. Because the thing about Avatar The Last Airbender, it was a completely unique creation by these two guys. And they said, okay, we're going to have the air elemental and the earth elemental. And basically, the fire nation, the fire elemental, has taken over and is trying to take over the world. And to do so, they got rid of the Air Nation. And the Avatar, the savior of them all, was out playing 100 years ago. And to save himself and his flying bison, he trapped them in an air bubble in the sea in the ice. So the main character, I think it's Katara. I wrote it down, but I can't remember. She basically finds him, and she's a waterbender. And they release him from the ice, and then they realize he's the Avatar and he's going to save them from the new evil Lord Ozu, played by...
Wait.
Mark Hamill!
Yes.
And I was like, what? And I had no idea. And so I was hitting the thing, that it's called X-ray, and I'm like, are you crapping me that's Mark Hamill? Robert Patrick also plays a character in this.
Oh, wow.
But so it's filled with fantastic voice actors. But the thing about this show that makes this show for me, number one, you guys all know I have a crazy sense of, I like shows with a sense of humor. That's why I think I gravitate towards things like Guardians. But there would be very emotional moments. And behind this emotional, like, you know, it's a different, it's not anime, but it has anime influences. So if you're watching it and they're like, Aang, do you want to go have a beach party? His face gets really big, his eyes get really big, kink, and then he goes off. And so like they use anime for, I guess, emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And it works really well. But the story is you have to watch it from beginning to end. So similar to this, it's three seasons and it's a continuation. And they have book one, which is water. Book two is earth. And book three is fire. And from beginning to end, it's the same basic goal and things horrible, you know, happen as he's learning. Because he's from an air bender, but he has to learn all the other... He has to learn water bending and then earth and then fire. And how he does that is very important. And it's... You feel it. But, like, behind it, you'll have, like, this very intense moment, and they're talking seriously, and behind, the water bison, the brother, thought that there was a flying lemur in there, and he's being spit out, and, like, all sorts of gook, and it's, like, So you're constantly being faced with this sense of humor, and it's just laughter all the way through. So I tell you, when you watch the previously on Avatar, The Last Airbender, and it will go, you know, so-and-so is fighting for this, and so-and-so is fighting for that. And then they'll say, okay, and they'll go to the beginning scene. It'll be like, I don't know, something stupid. It starts out, they really do handle the humor and the gravitas very, very well. So it's just a really good show. And I know that when it was out, I think Dave Filoni, who was a producer on Clone Wars and also on Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, okay.
Directed a bunch of the first... In fact, I think he was part of the beginning episodes. And I think he kind of established that sense of humor with seriousness. Mm-hmm. So you can, as an adult, watch this without feeling like you're watching a cartoon. So,
wow, that is so cool. So it's over and done. There's nothing new coming
out. Yeah, it's done.
Okay, and how many seasons?
It was 3 seasons.
I'm sorry, how many episodes in a season?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
There weren't that many.
And where can you watch it now?
Amazon Prime.
Oh, sorry, I think you mentioned that. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Wow, that's really cool.
And it's not on Netflix because I checked.
Score one for Amazon Prime!
I think there's a... Well, I don't know. I mentioned Robotech, and there's like a bunch of like the Robotech the movie and Robotech 2 the movie or whatever, but I only focus on the TV show. I thought there was like a Avatar Airbender kind of supplemental thing on in Netflix, but I don't know.
Well, they made a movie, right?
Not yeah, the M. Night Shyamalan one.
Well,
yeah, I think
I never saw it.
I may be wrong. I may be thinking about Naruto or some other anime. So. But I seem to remember something on Last Airbender on Netflix.
I will say, though, it is one of those shows where you'll surprise yourself by how much you really do enjoy it. It's got such a great story to it, very creative, and the science fiction type fantasy elements to it are right there along the finest, you know, just very creative and interesting.
And it deserves and better than the live-action movie.
Yeah, from what I heard. I mean, I never saw it, but I heard that it was kind of like, everybody was like, come on, did you even watch it?
Right.
So. Okay, so I've been trying to come up with what I wanted to do for my... I said I'd do a palate cleanser. And it's one I've kind of talked to you guys before, but I don't think I've talked about on WAC, and that's Croissant Man. It is a stop-motion animated show that stars a croissant.
I love how you're pronouncing it.
Thank you.
It's
so
like
much.
Me pronouncing quesadilla.
With a who has a beret and a mustache, and he talks about how he has no feeling. And his best friend is Biscotti, who is a fun-loving Italian. And who his and croissant man's dream is pan chocolat. Who he, in a drunken haze, looks at Peanut and thinks they're the same person because they're kind of shaped the same. It's hysterical. It is just dorky, dumb fun. I'm actually on the website right now. I recommend going to the website because it has an explanation of the world, which is that the pastries are on. All they care about is frosting themselves and their appearance. Croissant Man's hobbies are painting, self-actualization, and yearning. Peanut and Donut are dating each other, and they're... Because they're junk food, and that is right. They're not crossing the line. And their hobbies are fighting, making up, and searching for one another. It's just... It is so funny. Like, Biscotti takes Croissant Man down to the junk food bar to see the steamier side, you know, because they have to go on the wild side, the trashy side of the tracks. Oh my gosh, it's just so goofy. And like the macaroons, which the French macaroons, not piles of coconut, but like one of them is talking about how she should she dye herself? Now would she look good being totally violet? Don't sure. Now what do you think? No, be honest.
Oh. Kelly, and voice acting. It's
I know.
Future.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was just thinking.
There's only 9 episodes. I think each episode's like 10 or 15 minutes long, so it's really easy to go through, but it's funny, and it's one of those things where as I'm working, I can listen to it and it makes me laugh.
And what, I'm sorry, you might have mentioned this already. What do you watch it on?
It's on, I watch it on Amazon Prime, but it's also on YouTube.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's on Netflix, because I don't have Netflix, so I can't check.
It's not on Netflix. I can guarantee that.
But it is on YouTube.
And who made it? Like, who created this?
Okay, so I had
this is new, right?
No, actually, it's been around for like a year or so, and they're supposed to be having a season two, which I'm anxiously waiting for. The showrunner's name is Tuluka Singh. Her first name is Tulica, and her last name is Singh. She's the creator, writer, director, and editor. And she looks to be about 20, so I think this is probably her senior project or something. There is, if you go on and you go about the bout and you see all the people that are in it, there is, it's a whole team. There's a team of producers, cinematographers, a production crew. They all look very young. I'm guessing this was a school project. I don't care. It's really good. It's really fun. That's and great. You just have to watch it to see how incredibly goofy it is. But it has the undertone of the underlying message is all about these pastries are snobs and everything. They don't care about junk food and you don't cross the line. It's like kind of an allegory for racism wrapped around stop motion pastry.
That's so cool.
Excellent.
Okay, I guess I'm up. By the way, I have to watch that.
Yeah, right? I know. All of these shows I have to watch. This is terrible for my non-viewing.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I decided to go on a feel-good show. And in fact, this might be one that Katie and Kelly might do on the 70s show that you do. Barney Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Barney Miller.
We keep saving that one.
Okay. So I don't know why this happened, but for some reason, very much like I earlier talked about Bob Ross and the World War II thing, this just is like a warm blanket around me. I literally could watch an entire season in one sitting. In fact, I have like multiple DVDs of seasons, but Amazon has, I believe, all seasons, and it started in 1975 and ended in 1982. So let me mention some of the people who are in it. Hal Linden plays Barney Miller. He's the captain.
We were just talking about Hal Linden. Weren't we talking about
Yes, him? Yes. Yeah.
No, I was talking about it with my mom.
I won't say, I have no recollection of talking about Hal Linden.
What happened was, I called my mom for the mom poll because we were doing All in the Family. And my mom was like, wasn't that Hal Linden? And I'm like, that wasn't Hal Linden.
See, I was at the table across from my mom when you called, so I could hear some of what you were saying, and I said, "Oh, it's Hal Linden," or Barney Miller is what I actually said. But yeah, so he's this technically star, but it's more of an ensemble. You guys know if you've seen it. Have you seen it, Mandy?
I'm sure I have.
Okay, it's like in a half hour sitcom.
I know exactly what I can picture it.
Yeah, so it's essentially a detective precinct in, it's like a vice squad, basically, in a precinct in New York City. And so in the back, there's a small little jail, and on the right-hand side of it is Barney Miller's office, and on the right is the entrance into their thing. And in the first season, he had a wife, Barney Miller had a wife, and so occasionally it would go to his home. But then they realized that didn't work because that cut the continuity, so they cut the wife out after the first season. And she was played by Barbara Barry. But some of the people who were in this show, Abe Vigoda, who a lot of people know as a character in The Godfather. But
he was also in The Rockford Files.
That's right. And he was so popular in Barney Miller that he got his own spin-off show called Fish, which is his character in Barney Miller, and I don't think that lasted too long, but I remember watching Fish. There's a guy who's played by Max Gale called Stan Wojciechowicz, or Wojo, and he was kind of like the Polish detective, who's kind of like stereotypically dumb, but every now and then has like bits of wisdom that you're like, holy crap, where did that come from? Ron Glass plays Detective Ron Harris, and if anybody knows Firefly, Ron Glass played the priest on Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in every single season of Barney Miller. James Gregory plays, and James Gregory, he's a, like a classic actor. I only know one movie that he was in, but he, if you've seen any movies in the 60s, the one movie that he's in was in The Manchurian Candidate, and he plays kind of like a Joseph McCarthy type senator. And but he plays kind of a smarmy detective inspector, deputy inspector Luger, and he's like just and he really does nothing. He just walks in and just pals around with Barney, and Barney's like, "Well, I have work to do," and he's like, and just like reminiscing about the old days, about how cops used to do things a certain way, and now you know these liberal cops have to, whatever. So, what else? Jack Sue, who is famous for, like, Flower Drum Song. I believe he was in that.
Yes, he was. He played who she was going to marry.
That's right. He plays Sergeant Yamana. And the thing about that, Jack Sue, he was like a gambler, unapologetic. He was also, like, he cared the least about what anybody said. And it was kind of like the cynical one of all of them. The thing about Jack Sue is he passed away 5 years into the show. And so they had an episode where it was all about him. And it was really sad. But he was such a good part of the show. And so there are other people like Gregory Sierra played a character in the first two seasons. He's been on things like Miami Vice. And a guy named Steve Landisberg who... replaced Gregory Sierra, who is Detective Dietrich. But the main thing is, oh, and then Ron Carey, who plays this like diminutive officer who's like so, you know, enthusiastic and wants to do everything he can for Barney Miller. And he'll go out on any assignment that Barney Miller will give him because he wants to get that promotion and he wants to be part of the group and he's like super excited and it's really funny. But the thing that I love about it is just even the set, because what they do is they started at like the beginning of the day and there's like this roster board where there's like these magnetic pegs, and so when they walk in they take their peg and they move it across to the other side of their name. And this may sound strange, but to me, that watching that every episode was almost like, as I was a kid, watching Mr. Rogers take off his, what is it?
Sweater and shoes.
Right, and then put something else on. I felt like, that was like, okay, I'm home. I love every little thing. I love the people that they arrest, because they're not like violent people. They're kind of just petty criminals, and just the outlook of the set and the banter between all of those people is just, I could literally watch it for, I mean, I could waste an entire day, days. I could watch it like nonstop without sleep.
How many seasons were there?
Total eight. Eight seasons.
Is this one of those where they have like 20 episodes a season?
Okay. Yeah.
And was this a half hour or an hour show?
A half hour. And it's 170 episodes total, so you have a lot to go on.
Is it on Netflix now?
It's not on Netflix, so it's on Amazon Prime. So,
well, and one thing, if you don't realize without looking at it, is it's an integrated cast.
I was just thinking that it's a 70s show. It's probably when they started to purposefully make sure television was more diverse.
It was
representative of their audience.
It's one of those shows where I remember there's one episode that even as I was preteen by a lot, but there's this one episode I remember where they brought some guy in because he got pulled over for something, and then they realized that the car had been stolen, and he stole this car like 20 years earlier and had kept it, and it was like his baby, and they call the guy in who actually the car belonged to, and he's like, it's been so long, and they're talking to him. And so he goes, I'm not going to press charges. And they let him go. The guy who was the original owner comes back in. The car's gone. The guy stole it again because he loved it so much he couldn't let it go.
Wow. Was this on CBS?
This was an ABC show, actually. ABC.
So we were, this is kind of a spoiler for All in the Family, but we were talking about how in 1969, CBS got a new president. and you're talking about like when the shows changed, and that's when he canceled a whole bunch of shows. He canceled Beverly Hillbillies and all these, like, what he just wanted something edgier, and so he started putting shows on the air that were not quote unquote politically correct for the time,
right,
to kind of challenge the audience. And All in the Family was one of them. So I was just curious what.
Yeah,
ABC actually rejected All in the Family twice.
I mean, it's like when I think of All in the Family, I think they couldn't do a show like that today.
Quite. Yeah, we were talking
we,
about
we
that.
Talk about
that. Yeah, so it's. It's
yeah, but no, I totally agree with you that I think we actually make that. Actual
yeah,
statement.
Exactly. But and
there's a show now that reminds me a lot of Barney Miller.
Yeah.
Which is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh!
Which is, by the way, one of the television shows my nephew actually watches.
have you seen
Except
that?
Not on television.
I have.
Don't you get the same kind of feeling from it? Because it's an ensemble and it's... I don't know. I get the complete same feeling
it's
from it.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
And but the Barney Miller and the integration, they really, it's like the Ron Glass plays a guy who's like overly dresses because he's like the ladies man. He's constantly talking about the stuff that he's going to do after work, and everybody has their little thing, which is really cool. And they don't really, occasionally they'll poke at somebody's race, but it's you know, light. It's not like All in a Family would do it. It's not like a guy who's like, rrr. It's more like comfortable, hence the blanket around me, so.
That's cool.
Nice. Very cool. So, we mentioned Katie's my mom, and just before we left, I was asking her, what about you, Mom? What are your busy? She goes, well, she was actually under house arrest fairly recently. She was really sick.
And cool, like, really? What happened with your mom? What did she do?
Dish.
Grand theft.
Don't tell the truth. She was sick.
Grand theft remote control.
Just between us.
And she started binging Gilmore Girls, which is another dangerous show to binge because we're talking several seasons, 24 episodes a season. It's like, it's just, you start getting into it. But she said that show just made her really happy at a kind of a difficult time in her life. And I cannot wait for the fall. After I see The Fall in The Fall, I will move on to Gilmore Girls for kind of an upper post the depressing detective show, because Gilmore Girls finally gave a date and they're gonna debut the new season's shows on Netflix in November. So I can't wait for that. But you also mentioned a show that I'm not sure. I'm just curious if any of you have heard of this show. It's called Hell on Wheels.
Yes.
Okay.
AMC.
So this is an AMC show that my mom discovered on Netflix because she was looking for something to watch. And I was trying to get her to watch Peaky Blinders. She saw one episode and she was out. Even though I've seen parts of these episodes of Hell on Wheels, I'm like, oh, Mom, there's nothing more violent and anything, nothing less than that on Peaky Blinders. I think you can handle Peaky Blinders. So I'm trying to convince her to watch that, but that could be a mistake. So anyway, Hell on Wheels is a historical television show that has just finished its run on AMC. I think there's 5 or 6 seasons, and it's about the Transcontinental Railroad. She says it is fascinating, the history of it, and it's a incredibly diverse story and cast, and she literally, she's just finished all 6 seasons in a relatively short amount of time. So that's kind of something that I know she would recommend. And not a lot of people have heard of the show. I had never even heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. So anyway, my show, on to me.
Mandy keeps mentioning extra ones. I've noticed that this is me.
And this is my third one.
Oh, I've
now I'll go on to my second one.
I have more. Anyway, so in preparation for this show, I googled binge watching, and this, you know how they have the AMP feature on Google, and there's a series of articles that come up. Besides all the articles telling us that binge watching can kill us, which we won't discuss.
That's okay. I just read an article where they say cats lead to schizophrenia, so screw them, Google.
as has been proven by this lovely political atmosphere we have, you can say anything you want and so it shall be true.
Well, then you have to say it and then wait like 5 or 10 minutes and then repeat it and cite yourself as the source.
Yeah.
And it's you, and then it's true.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so
so if you recall, 5 minutes ago, a great man said...
So, okay, anyway.
That's not something he would do.
Okay, so there's this article on USA Today. 5 things to binge watch if you're sick of politics this weekend. And so 2 shows that I'm basically going to talk about a show that I haven't seen yet because I can't see it right now. I'm withholding it. And it just literally came out. One of them is BoJack Horseman, but we won't talk about that because that's another show. So but the one that I'm going to mention is Stranger Things, which literally just got released on Netflix.
Everybody's talking about
Everyone's talking about it.
And so automatically I was like, I'm out.
Well, Katie's out for this reason. In the very first episode, the mother goes to the police because her son is missing. I'm like, oh, Katie's out.
I'm in.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it's like a supernatural story set in a small Indiana town in the early 1980s. Has an 80s soundtrack. And it's just her son goes missing. This girl appears out of nowhere and she's got these supernatural abilities. There's ET storylines going on where there's something fishy going on in research and people doing things that they shouldn't be doing and government involvement. And I have, it's really all, I was in when I heard that Winona Ryder was in it because yeah. Adore her. And of course this is a show set in the 80s and she brings all the 80s back to me. So this is a show, and I actually heard a couple people say it's not for them.
I haven't heard that. It's like, I swear to God, this show is like covering my Twitter. It's like I can't. Everybody's talking about it.
Really? Okay. See, one of the articles on this article I read that not enough people are watching it yet.
I don't know. That's not a problem anymore.
I believe they've already greenlit a second series.
Okay, that's what the thing was, is they hadn't yet greenlit the second series, and they're like, we don't have quite enough of a viewership yet. So I guess the public has spoken.
Especially over Comic-Con, that's all they were talking about.
Twitter, Facebook, and then also, heck, on a more small level, my radio station.
Yeah,
they have a segment called What's Good. It's very funny. People call in. They were talking about it on that. So yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely
right. So yes, you're gonna have to watch it.
Yeah. Oh, this show is like right up my alley. Ever since I originally heard about it months ago,
it's almost universal positive. Like I haven't seen one person talk about it negative. In fact, Amy Radcliffe, Amy Geek, she just came back from London, and she said, okay guys, I finally watched it, I'm on the train. And so I was like, oh no. Like, at least I had one person that wasn't.
Yeah, so that's it.
I definitely want to see that show.
I want to see all these shows.
Yeah. I'm never going to see that show. I'm never getting Netflix. I've decided.
You are getting Netflix.
I'm an outlier. Do what I want.
You are getting it. So we put a wager down on this. Because what's the show? You're MST3K.
I know.
You totally want to watch
that. It's going to make me cave.
Stranger Things. We'll fill up your little wish list after you get it. You won't have to worry about it. We'll take care of it.
And all the Marvel shows that are on there. I get overwhelmed. But you're DC.
No. I would watch them. If it's a superhero, I'll watch it. It's too overwhelming. Because like right now... Okay, so Mandy got to list an extra show. I'm saying an extra show, which is Outcast. And,
Outcast.
Oh, see, no one watches that. No one talks about Outcast. Outcast.
What is Outcast?
Yeah, I'm flummoxed.
Yes, it is.
I was over there sweating. I have no idea what this show is.
The creator of it, you might be familiar with, that's Robert Kirkman.
Ah, nice. Oh yes, I have read about this.
He's the Walking Dead guy.
Yeah, I know who Kirkman is.
And it's this guy. He's an outcast because for some reason demons are kind of attracted to him, and so he's like living in this town, and this whole town is slowly getting possessed. But it's not like demons; they're kind of ambiguous. It's like they're not all they're not. It's hard to explain. You have to see this. It's not like that makes them go off and kill people and. They almost incorporate themselves into the person, and to me, I don't think it's going to be demons, because if it was real demon possession, that kind of freaks me out. I think it's more like alien takeover, but they're not calling it that. But this is how I rectify it in my mind. And Brent Spiner's in it.
Oh wow! Sold.
Oh, it's so good. It is so, so good.
I might have to binge The Preacher when it comes out.
Oh, they're doing a talking preacher, too, with Chris Hardwick.
Really? They did it on the first episode and the last episode.
Oh, I just saw him say, saw him in his black suit.
It's the last episode. Well, I think that's tonight, that's why.
Is it tonight?
Be prepared. That's a dark show.
Mandy likes dark. That's why I'm surprised she didn't say some of the shows. I think we should have had, we should maybe have an episode where we talk about the shows we've binged that we're ashamed of.
Oh.
Like 19 Kids and Counting. I did not say that.
You did. You just said it. We recorded it.
Or, was it Vanderclamp?
There are seriously shows, and they're on television. This is one of the reasons I kind of have trouble watching anymore. Where, like, remember when 8 Kids and Counting was on? This was years ago.
Right.
And it would be on, and I would be stuck. Like, and the kids would describe it, and they would put, they would, like, be like, Mom, please move. Because I would just walk in and go, for like a half an hour, and then I would say, why the heck are you watching this show? And they're like, please walk away. Walk away!
Yeah, any reality show, they suck you in. You go, oh, it's really Unreal. Have you guys, a lot of people are talking about this show, Unreal, which is the behind the scenes of a Bachelor type show, but it's all about the producers.
But it's fake, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's totally a fictional show, and it's all about how they're manipulating the people who are in it.
They're making us zombies.
These damn producers. They're the ones that are going to kill us. If binge watching can really kill us, then it's their fault.
It's all your fault.
But we like your shows. Keep entertaining us.
Keep going. Although I'll be watching Robotech.
So so I believe this wraps up our quote-unquote 8 shows.
Eight and counting.
Mandy's definition of 8 is what that was.
We've just turned into the Duggars of TV shows.
Found Jesus.
We found Jesus along the way. So thanks for hanging out with us. And if you like us, we'd love a review. That would really help us out.
And tell us what to binge. Because much time.
Because what you tell us to binge, we know you're loving, so.
And obviously, we're going to have another one of these shows because we barely covered all the stuff we're binging.
Oh my gosh, barely. Yeah. So.
We could do a part 2 right now, but we'll wait for that.
But it's summer and my air conditioning's off, so you can't listen to it. It needs to go back on.
Yeah, I'm sweating. Over
What's
here.
Our next episode, real quick?
It is on music. We're holding a charity.
it's people with unfortunate tattoos.
A charity concert.
And we will let you know who's going to be appearing at that concert next week.
This is going to be one of the weirdest concerts you'll ever go to.
What's going to be really funny about it? I'm not a music person, so this is so not me. I have no idea.
I can't wait.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to get your feedback on this week's episode. You can follow us by using the Twitter handle @WECPodcast. That's WEC with 2 Ks. Like us on our Facebook page by searching for the keyword WEC. You can also find us on Tumblr and Instagram. Or you can email us at WECPodcast@gmail.com. Bye for now. Thank you.